Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josiah.
Welcome to another very special presentation of Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, the podcast where we talk about anything and everything. I'm your host, Josias, at For the Villain on Twitter, at Comic_Syndicate on Instagram, and actually at Deep Dives R on Twitter. What's up, guys? If you guys are new to the Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, this is just a side podcast, more of a thought piece, thought-provoking piece podcast. I haven't done one of these, I don't want to say in a while. I needed to buy myself time for reviews. I've been really swamped with everything, and I realized I wrote, not necessarily wrote this one, but compiled all this information together a while ago. This is one in particular I wanted to do with my buddy RG at the time, and it was on the back burner the whole time, and we were unable to hit it, but you know what? I figured might as well do it now. So if you guys have never heard of the Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes podcast or have heard an episode before, I break down different topics, different subjects, and I go through with my personal opinions, thoughts, ideas, ideals on each one. I'm just going to hit it real quick. I decided to do a Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes because I'm, you know, speaking of my boy RG, the last episode we recorded together was actually 5/7/2019. Today happens to be 5/6/2020. I've done a bunch since. January, I believe I dropped my first one, which I believe I entitled Skepticism. The Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes are a podcast that you guys can jump in and in any sequential order. It's supposed to just be thought-provoking, so if there's one you haven't heard, go back into the library and find the Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, and hopefully I have some sort of topic that you guys like and or find appealing and or just funny. This one is not necessarily funny, but again, by the time I got all this information together, it is good information to know. All right, this particular topic is going to be these high school sports have the highest concussion rates. All right, when it comes to concussion in high school sports, there is good news and bad news. A new study suggests. This article came out 10/15/2019. The rates of football practice concussions and recurrent concussions across all sports have gone down in recent years, according to the study published in the Journal of Pediatrics on Tuesday. The bad news: concussion rates increased in football games. So far, how do you guys feel about this? Concussions. I know you guys are all probably rolling your eyes like, another concussion thing. How much do you guys really know about concussions, though? So let's say men and women that have never played a sport in your life before. You're probably thinking to yourselves, well, I've never suffered a concussion. What do I care? Well, there are several routes I'm going to go down. Let's talk about adults in your adult life. Let's say you ride a bike. Even, you know, I'm 40. I'm going to be 40. I still ride skateboards. I ride bikes. I'm still pretty active. Do I ever think that I've gotten a concussion in my life? No, I've never gotten in a car accident to the point. I've never been in a car accident to the point where, you know, especially where I was went to the hospital or got a concussion during a high impact collision or anything like that. Now that's one thing. I did play sports in high school. I played football and I did wrestle. I never suffered, as far as I know, a concussion. And I know it sounds weird just to say as far as I know, but let's again go into the adult route, and I'm going to switch it over real quick. Let's say as adults now, you guys have never suffered a concussion before. Do any of you guys have cousins, nephews, nieces that are younger than you, young children, young kids, youngsters that are in junior high school and high school? What a concussion looks like in the brain on the cellular level. These results matter for all stakeholders involved in high school sports, parents, coaches, athletes, as well as researchers, said Avinash Chandran, a postdoctoral research associate at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, who was an author of the study. She says, the study updates our understanding of concussion patterns in high school sports using injury surveillance, data. He said, it adds our existing understanding by providing the most recent timestamp in concussion incidents in high school sports. The study found trends in concussion rates not only for football, but also more than a dozen other sports. All right, let's go through these sports now, guys. Are you guys sports fans? Even if you guys aren't sports fans, hopefully this topic is intriguing at least for you guys to think twice about, especially if you know anyone or a youngster that might play any of these sports. And again, I'm going to stop several times and go over my thoughts, opinions, and ideas. All right, the study found trends in concussion rates not only for football, but also these sports, including soccer, ice hockey, and cheerleading, which were among the sports with the most concussion incidents. My number one would be, I would definitely say football, number one, because you guys are literally bumping heads all practice long, all game long, all season long. All right. The study found trends in concussion rates not only for football. Okay. The study also found that amongst all sports, there was only one in which the concussion rate was higher during practice than in competition. Now, out of all these sports, guys, and I'm probably going to go through all these, the high school sports with high concussion rates, the study included data on 9,542 concussions across 20 high school sports that occurred between the years 2013 through 2014 and 2017 to 2018 school years. Here you guys go. Those sports were boys football, wrestling, soccer, basketball, baseball, cross country. Cross country is one of those sports you really don't picture people getting concussed in, I guess, really, because you're running, right? Baseball is, you would figure, like, yeah, if you get hit with a baseball, baseball's fucking hurt. Even softball's hurt like a motherfucker. Basketball, I don't really see people getting concussed in those. Soccer is one of those interesting ones because, you know what, you are always bumping using your head to stop the ball or, you know, try to make a goal with your head. So that's kind of makes sense. This one is as a headhunter game, ice hockey, lacrosse, swimming, and diving. Those two sports in particular surprised me. We have track and field, girls volleyball. We have that, and we have, and co-ed cheerleading. That one was probably the most surprising to me because, I mean, what are you doing? Like, give me an A. Ow. Like, I don't see it getting hurt. And the only way we used to share our wrestling room with our cheerleaders for Santa Ana High School. And they would use our mats because, you know, when they would toss people up. So in those circumstances, I guess, yeah, when they eat shit, if they're going to toss them up about 20 feet in the air and you miss them catching them, they're bound to eat shit. The data came from the National High School Sports-Related Injury Surveillance Study based in high school Rio. For the study, a concussion, a type of traumatic brain injury caused by a bump, blow, or jolt to the head, was defined as occurring as a result of practice or competition, requiring medical attention and being diagnosed as a concussion. For each sport, the rate of concussion was measured as the occurrence of a concussion per each exposure athletes had to participating in their respective sport, either in practice or competition. Overall, the data showed that the three sports with the highest concussion rates were number one, boys football with 10.4 concussions per 10,000 athlete exposures. In second place was girls soccer with 8.19 per 10,000 athlete exposures. Third place spot was boys ice hockey with 7.69 per 10,000 athlete exposures. And then we continue on. When examining concussion incidents, specifically in practice, the highest rates were observed in boys football with a rate of 5.1 per 10,000, followed by cheerleading with a rate of 3.6 per 10,000, and boys wrestling with a rate of 3.2 per 10,000. Okay, just interesting sports to go through already, because which sports are really that physical? wrestling is a lot of using momentum and people's weight against them and balance and moves. But we can slam people and we can fuck people up. So I totally get how, especially a lot of headbutts happen. It's very, I mean, you're fighting someone is what wrestling is. You're literally fighting someone one-on-one. And yeah, it is pretty violent. So if you guys have never wrestled, it's one of those sports. The data showed that between 2013 and 2014, along with 2017 and 2018 school years, football concussion rates during competitions alone increased, but practice-related concussions rates dropped. The only sport with a higher concussion rate in practice than competition. The study found that across all the sports, most concussions, 63.7%, occurred during competitions. Only one sport had a concussion rate higher in practice than in competition, and that sport was cheerleading. Again, head scratcher. To me, at least. How do you guys feel about this? Were you guys ever in cheer? Do you guys know anyone in cheer? And do you guys think it's that violent of a sport? And it sounds corny to say it like that. But again, if you guys are not into sports, I mean, cheerleading is a form of a sport. So even though it is a head scratcher, it's kind of interesting. The research noted that in a study that where and how cheerleaders practice could play a role in that finding. But more research is needed. For instance, unfortunately, not all states recognize cheerleading as a sport. Okay, so it's competition. I'll give it that. Which may impact the conditions in which cheer squads may practice, Chandran said. Which could be in the hallways or on asphalt, putting them at higher risk of concussion. Yeah, no, that's a good point. It is also possible that cheer squads have less access to medical care and coaching support than other high school sports, he said, referring to the observed patterns in practice. So again, interesting numbers that homeboys come up with. CDC issues first guidelines to treat young youth concussions. We'll get there. The study had some limitations, including the only data from high schools with athletic trainers were included. And most of the data were based on athletes disclosing concussion symptoms during either a competition or practice. Okay, let's stop there real quick. I went to high school 94 to 98. And, you know, I come from a generation where we weren't pussies. And we wrestled through. We wrestled through a lot of injuries. And bruised ribs, broken ankle, hairline fracture, ankle, jacked up wrists, fingers. For myself, and that's not including my boy that busted his collarbone or Gilbert Melendez fucking in active competition to go to state. Hyperextended his elbow, actually busting up his elbow. It's one of those things where, especially in competition, it sucks to say, guys, but I don't even want to say machismo, but there's this toughness factor where you don't really want anyone to feel sorry for you and you just want to push through an injury because that's what you did. I know that sounds terrible. Okay, this study had some limitations. Okay. Underreporting may have occurred if players chose not to disclose concussion symptoms, thus compromising our ability to fully understand athlete injury histories, the researchers wrote in this study. How do you guys feel about this so far? And have any of you guys and ladies that do listen, how do you guys feel about this? Have you ever came across an injury where it's like, I can just walk it off or I'm fine? Or did you go to the hospital right away? It's just different upbringing in my opinions, but again, it's fucked up to say, but it's a thing that actually happened, even in today's sports. Although trainers now are great and the medical on-field doctors are so great and have gotten so much better about pulling players and like, nope, we have to put you through these concussion protocols before we can send you back out. So that is finally great. These types of injuries have become more concerning as youth sports have grown in popularity and because research has shown that repeated blows to the head, such as from playing football or heading a soccer ball, can lead to long-term memory loss, dementia, and other serious health issues. More research is needed to determine exactly why certain trends in concussion rates have been found, since the new study only examined incidents and trends, but experts have some ideas. The legislation is having impact. The top sports with the highest concussion rates in the new study came as no surprise to Dr. John Letty, a primary care sports medicine physician, clinical professor, and medical director of the Concussion Management Clinic at the University of Buffalo in New York, who was not involved in the new study. In our area, it's boys football and boys hockey, followed by girls soccer, cheerleading, and girls hockey, Letty said, referring to the types of athletes treated at his clinic. The new study also found that overall 8.3% of reported concussions were recurrent, but rates of recurrent concussions decreased between the 2013-2014 school year and the 2017-2018 school year, which Letty called an interesting trend. He says there was reduced rate of recurrent concussions, and I think that speaks for the fact that we now have legislation in every state that says you have to pull a kid out of a sport when a concussion is suspected and the child can't return to play until being cleared by a physician. Okay, again, great news. Like, this is something that has been needing to happen across many sports. I'm a huge football, and like, I'm a huge sports fan in general. So the fact that I have no sports to watch during this time, I'm going to talk about shit that I care about, and these are things that I care about. Like, do you guys know anyone that has a concussion? And I'm going to go and end this podcast with, you know, just an interesting insight for people that maybe you guys don't know the studies. Maybe you guys don't know numbers. Maybe you guys haven't put any time or thought into numbers like these, but that's what the Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes podcast is about. Teaching you guys new things, and if you guys knew these facts already, let me know what I'm missing or what you want me to talk about, you know, or to piggyback on these ideas. All right, as of 2015, and again, great that kids are now getting pulled as soon as it's like, nope, homeboy's fucked up. Let's pull him or her. As of 2015, all 50 states have adopted some form of concussion legislation with the minimum return-to-play guidelines for students who have had concussions. It's been shown in college athletics that the introduction of the mandatory removal and then a return-to-play progression has really reduced the rate of recurrent concussions, Letty said. I think that's what's happening here in high school sports. That shows, I think, the legislation is having impact. Laura Dreher, an associate professor at the University of Alabama in Birmingham, agreed that the study's findings may be a reflection of return-to-play legislation, but she would like to see the findings validated with more vigorous research. It could be that there is more education awareness. All 50 states now have laws in place for return-to-play, and all high school coaches have to go through training, said Dreher. So the last time I was a coach was I graduated in 98. My boy Manny got me to coach at Tustin High School. So we were coaches. The most they had us learn was CPR and take some, you know, classes like that, which now you can't give people CPR. So those are certain things, though, now. All right. So Dr. Dreher, director of psychological and neuropsychological clinical research services at the University of Alabama in Birmingham's Department of Ophthalmology and Visual Sciences, that was a fucking tongue twister, who was not involved in the new study. She praised the study for shedding light on the public health issue of concussions, which she said often gets more attention at the collegiate and professional sports levels than in high school sports. It really starts with the kids, Dreher said. But some young athletes make it to collegiate or professional levels. The damage is done, quote unquote, she said. We need more studies at the high school level and even backing it up further with the little kids to get more longitudinal data and better understanding this issue so we can do things to prevent it, manage it, and hopefully keep kids safe but active as well. I'm all for active kids. I didn't get a lot of exercise when I was a younger kid, so the fact that these studies come out and concussions have been a thing for the longest time, CTE is a thing. It damages your brain. The fact that we can catch it now and are aware of it in kids now, in kids' sports, is a fantastic thing. So I'm going to end it. I said I was going to end it in a particular way, but I thought this was interesting to piggyback this topic. And again, I put these together a year ago. So this would have been a year ago tomorrow, 5/7/2020. And we have this one, is participating in sports in middle and high school can be an energizing and confidence-building experience, but the impact of head trauma and concussions may leave kids and teenagers struggling with an inability to regulate their emotions during the recovery phase and ultimately lead to a battle with depression. As we explore how concussions can impact the long term, just give me one moment, guys, I just got a message, the concussion's long-term health of adolescents and teenagers. Let's first look at what a concussion is. So again, you guys should know what it is, but of course, I'm going to go through it and close that out because that keeps cock-blocking me. A concussion is a type of traumatic brain injury, TBI. When the head sustains a blow or sudden jolt, it causes sudden movement resulting in the brain moving back and forth against the skull. That motion can cause chemical changes and cell damage in the brain. Signs of concussion can include the following, and it's important to note that some of these injuries may not appear until 24 to 48 hours after an injury. Confusion about time in and or place. Worsening headaches, slurred speech or difficulty speaking. Nausea. Change in pupil size, one is bigger than the other or both are abnormally enlarged, trouble walking or standing, noticeable bruising or a large bump anywhere on the head. Signs of severe head injury include the following, in which case 911 should be called immediately. Vomiting repeatedly, difficulty breathing, blood or fluid coming out of nose or ears, seizure. Loss of consciousness. Now, I know you guys might be thinking to yourselves at any moment, like, well, duh. Like, of course, duh. But for those of you, again, that have never seen anyone or has played sports before, and again, for those of you that said duh, I mean, hopefully none of you guys did, but let's just say for those that don't know what a concussion is, or those people that don't like or care for sports, this is still good information to have and to know. How a concussion can potentially lead to depression. Children and teenagers often become confused as to why they become so emotional after sustaining a concussion. Dr. Anthony Doran, a pediatric neuropsychologist with Head First Sports Injury and Concussion Care, a service of Right Time Medical Care, says that the injury, which causes other problems like headaches or issues with balance, can also have an adverse effect on regulating emotions. It's the same brain. It's the same reason as all other symptoms, Doran says. Up to 70% of children and teens who have sustained a concussion experience emotional dysregulation. Kids and teens who already have a history of depression or anxiety may have their emotional symptoms exacerbated by the injury. So many tongue twisters today. What's important is that the child and the parents realize that this is the head trauma that's to blame and adopt strategies for managing their feelings, Doran says. It is important for parents to put so-called scaffolding in place, a system of identifying and helping children through the difficult weeks of recovery. He suggests children and teens learn to gauge the intensity of the emotions on a scale, identifying whether they are a 2, which is where the lower end is, or at an 8 or 9 at the higher end. He recommends they take breaks from activity and activity recognize that their emotions are concussion related and not how one would normally feel. Relaxation techniques such as deep breathing and meditation can help. Parents can assist by taking their children through the process when they see them struggling and providing support or getting them when needed. It can take between 4 and 8 weeks before the emotional dysregulation subsides. While most concussion studies have focused on adults, few have explored the long-term effects of concussions on young brains. A 2014 study in the Journal of Adolescent Health found that children ages 12 to 17 with a history of concussions were more than 3 times likely as likely to suffer from depression than those who have never had a concussion. Doran says children and teens with a history of depression are 4 times more likely to experience suicidal ideation. Sorry about that. But the issue is treatable with therapy, medication, or both. High school age students are more at risk for depression because they are already facing all the issues that come with being a teenager. You know what? Chalk that up even to kids now getting into sports at a younger age now. Like, let's talk about T-ball. Let's talk about fucking Pop Warner football. All those. Even dealing with things, even at a younger age now, where bullying is a fucking thing. And kids, the study is about bullying and kids just depressed now and being different is fucked up. And yeah, it's just so many things, you know. You guys should know this. Add a concussion to that and they are more vulnerable, Doran says. They are more apt to push away the parental scaffolding and struggle more, especially if they think that they are at risk of losing their place on their team. You know what? Kind of, yeah. Younger children are less likely to reject the help. It is important for parents to know how to identify post-concussion depression after head trauma. Know the signs of depression and when to help. And this is why I wanted to end this podcast in a particular way. If a child has suffered a concussion, then it is important to know the signs of depression that can emerge after an injury. Feeling sad, hopeless, or irritable a lot of the time. Not wanting to do or enjoy doing fun things. Changes in eating patterns. Eating a lot more or a lot less than usual. Changes in sleep patterns. Sleeping a lot more or a lot less than normal. Changes in energy, being tired or sluggish or tense and restless a lot of the time. Having a hard time paying attention, feeling worthless, useless, or guilty. Self-injury and self-destructive behavior. Those are just interesting because these are red flags, especially in the times we're living in right now, guys. Like, reach out to people. Take care of kids for sure. But if you guys have seen any of these red flags and anyone, and I know it's harder to pay attention to keep a watchful eye on people we care about, you know, definitely do it. What you can do before a concussion, protecting a child's brain health starts before they step on the field or playground. Knowing and mitigating the risk of traumatic brain injury and concussion starts with a few basic steps. Use the right protective gear. Ensure that your child has the appropriate head protection before they start playing. Make certain helmets, football, skateboard, bike, etc. are age appropriate and are rated for the sport they will be playing. Get help from expert on to ensure helmets are fitted properly for maximum protection. Get a baseline neurological screening. Know your child's brain health status before play begins. Many youth sports teams now require a baseline screening. I wish this was a thing for me when I was a kid. Before children can play too quickly, to quickly identifying any cognitive changes after a head injury. Baseline test for children ages 12 to 24, head first assisted in developing the pediatric version of the impact test and remains one of the few concussion programs that offer it for children ages 5 to 11. What to do after a suspected concussion. See a licensed medical professional who is trained in evaluating head injuries. So don't be like my generation. Don't think you're fucking tough. And you know, when I think people are more caring now, or you know what, I can't even say that, parents are pieces of shit nowadays. Like, people leave their kids in cars when it's a hot fucking sunny day. So it's really, I'm on the fence about giving parents any fucking proper due diligence on this bullshit, because I hate fucking people in general because they're not aware of things like this. Depending on the severity of the injury, cognitive tests may be needed to gain a better understanding of the extent of the injury. Rest, both physical and mental, is usually the best treatment for a concussion. Follow instructions. Your medical provider will carefully document a plan to rest the brain and reduce or eliminate stimuli such as computers, television, noise, bright lights, and physical and mental activities to give the brain time to heal. Also included will be a comprehensive step-by-step process to return to school, work, play, and activity. There is no quick answer to how quickly you or your child will recover. Symptoms typically improve within days or weeks, but can linger for a month or two. with other patients experiencing longer-term symptoms and needing more and more time to recover. Follow-up subsequent evaluations by a trained healthcare provider after symptoms have cleared up will verify that you or your child can resume normal school, work, home, sports, and activity routines. All right, guys, we don't have sports. This is just something that I love, and not concussions, but just sports and sports-related injuries I hate to see. Like, I listened to a podcast the other day. I finally was able to listen to podcasts the past 2 days at work, working from home, working long fucking days, by the way. And I listened to Alex Smith was a quarterback for the Washington Redskins, and he had a leg injury in 2018, November 2019, and he busted his, his shin exploded, but it punctured his skin, but like the way it punctured his skin, it got really infected. So one day to the next, like they thought it was just like a fracture or a break, but the puncture was so bad, they didn't realize how bad it was till after the fact. I love sports. I hate when anyone gets hurt. It's just always like one of those things where it's like, oh, it's so nasty to watch. And the first thing that always goes through my head is, fuck, I hope dude's okay. I hope girl's okay. Like homegirl, homeboy, like I know what it's like to be on the mat, on the field, and I've seen some fucked up injuries on the wrestling mat. I've seen fucked up injuries on a softball field of all things. And it's just gnarly. And, you know, we want to have fun and we're athletic and we want to be out there and just have fun and play a fucking game. And, you know, our health comes first. Our health always comes first. So even though I don't have sports, I thought this one was interesting enough to share from a year ago that I should have fucking tossed out a long time ago. Anyways, if you guys like the podcast, subscribe to Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes under the Comic Syndicate banner for always. I am at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. Find at Deep Dives are on Twitter. If you guys ever need to reach out to me, I can probably be found the most easiest at comic_syndicate on Instagram. All right, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. I will catch you guys next week with, you know what? I don't know when I'll catch you. I'll catch you guys when I catch you. Peace out.